So my first question is, how did we become such good friends? What happened? Do you remember that?
Yeah, we so different too, man. You know what I'm saying? You country boy.
I know, but I was thinking about, I think about that all the time, like how we met and how God really connected us. That's insane. It was insane, the whole process. Yeah. And unfortunately, it was through a lot of heartache.
Yeah, because I was in, I think I was in pain at that time.
This building and all of that.
Yeah. Because I think I came, let's go, I'll tell you from the beginning.
No,
I
you
came
tell us. Just tell us the first thing you remember.
I remember coming here to look at how we used to have this building. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't work out for us. Okay. And you had the building, and I'm looking at the building, and I'm like, you know, already, you know, you have feelings, like being upset. He got the building. Man, come on. This, you know, all these questions run through you, you know.
Yeah, because you guys had been in it. You had a vision from God that you were trying to fulfill, and, man, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Not like you wanted.
Not like I wanted. Could have, but, I mean, it's so strange. I'm going to say this. I know we're getting ready to get on that subject, but I found out in church, Pastor, it's, you know, people say a lot, you know. That's one thing I didn't understand. I like real talk. Be real. That's one thing I like about you. Yep. You say it, you're going to do it. You're going to back it up. That's a lot of time in church. People just be talking, talking. They want to look good, seem to be good, talk good game, and they're really not bagging that thing. Yeah, you know.
And if you've been in it for a while, it starts to be, you get a little jaded.
Yeah. You say jaded?
Jaded. Like you get a little jaded or cynical. You know, and like internally, you're rolling your eyes.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, not outwardly. You got a smile, but. Internally, you're like,
man, so true. Yeah. I'm with you for life. I'm here to help you. I mean, man, all that's just talk, man. I guess during that time, I was a little, you know, shocked by that and of the support, the love that we should have. And plus, we're reaching people that nobody does like what we do. Reaching people that nobody want to fool with, you know, like prostitute. Got guys slanging drugs and stuff like this. We go after that, and our whole church is kind of like built around that. But seeing you, you know, and how young you was, I mean, just, you know, the energy, the people, because I knew a little about the church. I knew it was a young church, but just doing it, you know, coming in. Then I say, oh, what they doing? I looked inside this building. You had it, and you was like remodeling it. I say, oh, they tearing it up. They not, you know, I was trying to find all these crazy looking for fault, you know what I'm saying? Because I was hurt and I was upset.
But you got to tell them, because you were actually, I'm going to joke and say like a peeping Tom, because you were on the front glass.
You're right.
Like looking through and seeing what was going on.
No, looking for something bad that was going on, you know? Yeah. And while I was doing that and looking there and looking for fault, looking for things, and it actually was improving the building, but I couldn't see that. You know, hate has a way of blinding you from seeing good.
Yeah.
It always blinds you from seeing good. And I've been talking about love, preaching on love for all my entire life and ministry. And then you catch yourself, you know, being upset. And I really wasn't upset with you or upset with just myself. I was upset with my dad, my God.
Yeah.
And people don't like to talk about this. I was really upset about what went on. And it's not his fault. It was my fault, you know. And it was my decision. Let me say that. Because, I made a decision.
But there was so much, like, just that you didn't understand at
that
time.
Exactly right.
You were, like, processing everything. You didn't have the clarity that you have now.
Ooh, thank you.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't, Pastor. You're right on it. I didn't. And during that time, too, I think, man, watching, developing, God using you to put you in my life and to see, you know, and, you know, you may not know, you know, we never knew each other before then. Mm-mm. And we, seeing God bring that together.
Yeah, I think we knew of each other, but we didn't know each other.
Exactly.
You know, I definitely knew who you were.
Yes.
And I had met you before through the, what was it, Louisiana Outpouring.
Yes.
But I was much younger.
Yeah.
I still am. But
oh, my God.
Then,
you like rubbing, like throwing that out there. You're going to get older soon. Let me say this.
Right.
He's so young to be in such a place for a young guy. I say that all the time. I tell people, man, this guy is so young and moving so fast, strong. Well, but he has in your spirit, you always say, man, I'm not doing nothing. That's Dad tell me, God tell me to do it. I love that about you. And
I was young when I started. I mean, I was 28.
28 years old. God,
42 now, Pastor. Yeah, State. I mean,
that's young. Still, I'm a grown. That's young, still a baby.
It's not as young as 28. But what I remember is, okay, let me say it from my side, because I felt terrible because I knew a little bit about what y'all were trying to do in this building.
Yeah.
I had nothing but respect for you and your ministry. I probably knew more about you than you knew about me, because just the way we had met. And y'all, plus y'all had been in the city for 10 years at that point. So I knew who you were. Yeah. I knew what y'all did for the city and in the city.
Yes, sir.
I knew what you were trying to do in this building.
Yeah.
I had nothing but respect and love for that.
Thank you, bro.
I just hadn't really met you personally. Yes, sir. So when I heard you guys lost the building and then the way God opened the door for us to get in it, there was a part of me that felt terrible.
Yes.
And I always wanted to meet you because I wanted... You don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do, you know, but and so I just didn't know how that was going to work. But I wanted to meet you and just console you. Yeah. I don't know what the right word is. I wanted to support somehow.
That's right.
Anyway, we met one day because I was driving on that part of town where y'all are at now. Brandon and I, we were dropping a guy at the bus station or something, and we drove by your building.
Yeah.
And I saw Global Impact Ministry on the church, beautiful.
Yeah.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks, man. I remember
this was later on.
This was later.
After I looked in through the window, looking through the glass.
Yeah.
This was a little later on. And then I went there again to see what you was doing. But I think during that time, my heart wasn't so like it was.
Yeah, you had come by the church, but I never saw you or anything like that.
I was spying, like you're saying.
Spying. Find out the land.
That's right.
But so anyway, that day I drove by, and I'll tell you what hit me was, I knew all the pain y'all had gone through.
Yes.
And just as a pastor, as a leader of trying to build something, I knew what you must have been feeling of you put all this work, all this time, all this energy, getting people excited, getting people to see the vision, like all the work that a pastor has to do for that, and then losing that building.
Oof, man, that's
then when I drove by the other one, I said, he did it again.
That was a work, too.
Like, it was obvious from the outside, y'all had gotten another building. You had remodeled it.
Yes.
You had gotten back on track. And see, I didn't know all that.
Man.
And it's, I'm telling you, as soon as I saw that, I said, I got to meet this guy.
I have
to know who this person is that can take that kind of hit and get back up,
man,
keep going, and keep pushing.
Man.
That blew me away.
Yeah.
And then, so we got out. We stopped. I walked in. You were in there.
Yeah.
We met.
Yeah.
You know, and then this was the crazy part.
But I had just came to your church that
day. That's the crazy part.
Yes, I just
looked. What are the odds of that? I did not know. You had come by the church that day. And somebody on staff had given you a tour around the building.
Yes, yes.
And I wasn't there at the time.
And I said, oh, my God, they made the building look better. That impacted me even more. And I'm not saying that just because you're here. I'm saying that I think about it even now. You guys have turned the building to another level. And made it look even better. And I was like, God, dog, this man is off the chain. This guy is off the chain. Well, I'm saying off chain, me at another level.
Yeah,
doing,
I got you.
Doing good. Yeah, I'm just saying, in case y'all listen out. Yeah. Yes, you are.
No, we ain't that white. We understand. We know what off the chain means.
Okay. You're so funny, dude. Well, you were. And I said, man, then I leave, go to my church. And you pulls up at the church. I said, I just left your building.
I had no idea. And you thought that's why I was there. You thought I was showing up because I had no idea.
And it when I told you, I know you said that.
Coincidence, so to speak, but it was God. Man, we made a connection that day. We started having coffee, lunch, you know, and then all the stuff that came out of it. I mean, Ron's house and all the ways we partnered in the city. And what is that? We've been friends now. What, 6-7 years?
But one thing I learned, though, when I was with you, I was really still seeking to find out how you moving so fast as a young guy. I'm just telling you, being clear with certain things while I was even with you, I thought, I want to know about this guy. How is this guy moving so fast like this and be so young and operating in such wisdom and knowledge in some things? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? And then you kept saying this over and over. I don't do nothing that God tell me to do.
Mm.
And I've been brought up, get it. You make it happen. You get it. You go get it. You move. You don't back down. You keep pushing. Different. Mm-hmm. And I do that when he tell me to do that.
Yeah.
And I say, he got the pause. We call it the pause. It is, you have to slow down, hear God's voice for the next move. You had that pause in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that. I remember you saying that to me over and over. I wait for God to speak to me. I wait for God. And I know about waiting for him to speak to me, but sometimes I just go gung-ho. You have to calm me down, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And listening to you say that, it really opened my eyes to see something. Cedric, slow down.
Well, for me, I just had learned that I've made a lot of mistakes when I don't do that, you know.
Oh, that's good.
And I realized, like, going ahead, uh-huh. you may have to backtrack and rebuild it all and redo it all because Ooh, you didn't Lord. Hear God, oh, you know. So God. I would rather wait. And sometimes I feel like that's all I'm doing is waiting.
Man,
honestly, yeah. you know, sometimes in that, when you go that way, sometimes it feels like all I ever do is wait. And all God ever says is no. It's no, all the time. But then
you look up
and you go, wait a minute, there's been a lot done, a lot accomplished.
Fast.
You know? And so you go, well, I would have done it. So it's very targeted approach.
Yes.
You know, you do, and you think about it. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, only say what I hear my Father say. That's even how he operated. So
that's
what we've tried to do.
And you're doing it. I got to say, you guys are doing. This place is off the chain. This is beautiful over here.
We're blessed, man.
Man, you are blessed,
brother. We're thankful. God, we're thankful.
We come over here, we go, man, we had a conference over here. Oh, it's so nice. Y'all do, I mean, you guys does things with excellence. You know what I'm saying? I love Brandon. You just have a great team, man.
Yeah, but y'all do too, man.
Yeah, thank
y'all
you,
do
bro.
Too. When I come to your church, the thing that stands out to me is your people, man. Your people are so loyal, so faithful. They worship. They love God. They honor you guys. Yeah. Like the way they treat you and Pastor Didi, so much respect between everybody. It's just so much love in that building.
Yeah.
And y'all just done such a fantastic job.
Thank you, bro.
But tell us a little bit about, start at the beginning. Just tell us a little bit about your heart for ministry, how you got in ministry, what like drives you to do ministry the way you do, the people you're called to reach.
Man,
why do you
so
go after those people?
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't have, when I first got born again in college, a guy introduced me to Christ. I'd been in his church, been around his people. And, you know, I had a little hate problem because my dad died when I was young. So I had a little hate problem. Not a little hate, a big hate problem toward God. Mm. And then they talk about God. I didn't want nothing to do with it, but I was still around his people. And I used to hear him talk to me when I was young, like you're saying. Always wanted me when I was young. I would reject him. I knew I was. If you would ask me as a kid, have you rejected God? I would tell you in your face, I would say, yes, I have. Mm. I knew I didn't want him. But in college, man, the guy who kept bringing, that's why it's important that people bring it to you. The guy in college kept talking to me about him. In a relationship way. That's why I was saying sometimes people think having so much knowledge can help a person get born again. No, it's the intimacy you have with God that helps people to fall in love with him.
Oh, that's good.
You know what I'm saying? It's that relationship you have with him. And I ended up getting saved, man, when I got born again in college. Man, I went through college and we started a revival in the school. Man, it broke out. But I still didn't have a desire for the people I'm going for. I didn't have that desire until...
Right, at that point, you're just kind of being like a Christian.
Yes.
Just being a born-again, sold-out Christian.
Yes.
You're not thinking I'm going to do this ministry thing full-time.
Yes, I never did. I never had that, man. I didn't have it in me. Now, my wife at that time had it in her. She was talking about going proclaim on the streets. I say, proclaim on the what? I'm not going out there. I'm in college.
So
but
then why did you, how did you get a heart then for those kind of people?
He did
that's
it.
Unusual. Most of the time somebody doing what you're doing, they came from that background.
Yeah.
They overcame it.
Yeah.
They had the, and so that God uses them to reach those kind of people. That's what everybody expects.
And
that's what I
think
most
people
think about
you. Yeah, they do. They think I'm like, no, I never did. He put the desire in me to do it. I mean, it's amazing how you can do something. That's why I say ministry is not anything I would have chose. You ask me tonight, right now, are you in love with ministry? I will go, no, I'm in love with him. So I obey him and do it. People say, sometimes people think they got to do something they love to do. I love to do this. So I'm going to do this because I love to do it. Sometimes that love, that desire is not there to do it.
Wow.
And he has to bring that up, put that in you,
that's good.
And show you it really is in you. I just got to show you it's in you and reveal it to you.
Well, what you're saying is that being obedient is
more
important than being passionate.
Yes,
and the passion may come.
Yes.
But sometimes God's going to ask you to do things, and you do it just out of
obedience. Pastor, that's
period.
So good. Oh, Pastor, that's so good. And I think my walk has been that way with him. And I think that's why he trusts me a lot with what he's called me to do, because the things can't move me. Money can't move me. Houses, cars, and all this other stuff. I'm not caught up on that stuff because I love him. You know, I'm in love with him. But I tell you, Pastor, it began to happen when we went into ministry at a church, started committing to a church for over, 10 years. We was committed and faithful. And God started talking to us about dealing with.
So how did Global get started? Tell us.
Oh, man, Pastor, Global started. We was at church. My wife, God spoke to me. I want you to go somewhere. And I was like, where do you want me to go? And he said, Alexandria. And I want you to start a ministry there.
And that's where you were from.
Yeah, I was from there. My wife is from Kansas, Garden City, Kansas. And we both like, oh, it was a boom hit, man. We was like, oh, I mean, now no, the people thinking rejoicing. No, we love Pastor Bob and the Word of Life Church. I'm thinking of your church. We love that, too, you know. But we was like, it was just difficult for us to let go of that, to come here and to start a church that reached people that nobody wanted to fool with.
So you knew from the beginning that it was going to be people off the street?
Yes. Like
you knew that's what the church was going
to
be?
Immediately when he started telling me, it's like when God speaks to you, he speaks to you, he'll say one word, but there's many information, as many words or information in that one word. Mm-hmm. When he says something to you, it's like a computer. Like when he say things, like a data, information is with that one word. And it shot through me and I understood all the other stuff that came with it. By then, he had been training me to go on the streets before I came here. In New Orleans, Washington, D.C., all over the place. I've been proclaiming on the streets. I've been doing it. Yeah, he's already been doing it. Now, I didn't have no clue I was going to be doing this, reaching this type of people in my life. I'm thinking I'm going into what I went to college for or something, you know what I'm saying? Not ministry. Mm-hmm. I love his house. I help in any way, but to work for his house? That's a whole different ball game, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm pretty sure you brought up that way. You've been pruned and sharpened. I was like looking at you and just, I love how God brought you up. It was a shocker to me.
So what about your wife? Like, did Pastor Didi also have that same passion for the street like that?
We both came. Came when the calling came.
I would say if you didn't grow up on the street, even more so.
Oh, she definitely. I'm going to put the silver spoon with it, too. Our family, they're very successful people. And her family, she definitely came from a different lifestyle than me. When I say, I'm talking about financially. You get it? Okay. I'm pretty sure y'all got that then. Okay. But it was an adjustment for her as well. Definitely for her. And best being married to me, we crying, ain't no money. Broke as Cuda Brown. I don't know y'all know what that means. But we begin to hear God's voice, and he saw time. I want you to reach these people. Nobody want to fool with this. They nervous. And you ever notice, Pastor, around here, we got all the churches, even in New York, all over the place, Texas, got a bunch of churches, but their crime is still buck wild. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an issue. Something's wrong. You can have all the nice churches and all that, but if your crime is tore up in your city, something wrong. Eventually, the streets are going to take over the city. And it was beginning to happen here in Alexandria. And it's happening all over. People, you can have nice churches, and y'all can shout and scream and praise God and, you know, jump up and down and do cartwheels and all that. And say you have a great church, but the crime is still going on. Something's missing.
So good.
Something is missing. That's what began to happen with us. We started, he said, you're going to be doing it, and you're going to do it, and you're going to keep doing it and not stop.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why God has our church partnering with your church so many ways, because it should be a focus of every church.
Yeah.
It should be. But you guys are like excelling at it, and it's your whole focus, you know.
Yeah.
So,
it is.
Every church has a little bit different calling, and different vision, and all of that. And you guys are fulfilling yours so well.
Yeah.
But I think churches like ours, where it's not as big of an emphasis, well, then you have to partner with people that are doing it, you know, and help in that way.
But you are. Your church have to. You have a program doing it. Yeah, I just want to make that clear. You are impacting in that community, too.
Yes.
And partner with me and still impacting it. It's not, like you're saying, the full whole ministry is set that way.
Right.
But it's still, and that's what I'm saying, it's needed. It's needed out there. That is so needed. I'm seeing guys that used to sell drugs and be on the street. People sometimes think The people on the that's causing crime is the addict, drug addicts. They're not. That's not the issue. The issue is the drug dealers. Mm-hmm. And if you can impact drug dealers, you'll change the crime in your city. Because the drug dealers are actually the people who's pushing everything. And if you can shut that down, you can shut them these trips from Texas to Alexandria or the Texas to Baton Rouge. You'll shut it down. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people don't have that understanding. They think giving hot dogs and feeding the homeless, oh, we making a big deal, is really doing this. No, you're not. You're not doing it. Boy, you're not. That's so just good. Putting a Band-Aid on, and it's going to fall off in about 5 minutes.
Right, and that's so good. And I think when most Christians or churches do that, they have good intentions, but honestly, it ends up being more for them than it does the street. It's like, I felt good because I served a hot dog and gave water.
Yes.
And I feel like I'm being a good Christian.
Yes.
You know, but you didn't really.
Yes.
Let's be real. You didn't really move the needle.
Exactly. Exactly. And they still, the pain and still the situation. I think, let me just give them an illustration. We go at the house or the areas and move in that area and knock on the door and reach them. And then we set up a transitioning home that these guys can go to. And be a part. I have a place to get off the streets and stop being there. Then that's not it. We have a place thing called change that deals with the drug if you're addicted. Mm-hmm. We hitting that too. But the main thing is what I believe God is using me, I have a way of speaking. And I may sound a little rough today. And forgive me because I'm used to talking to guys that are rough. And I may say, like, you know, some of the guys I deal with, they've been selling drugs since their mom put them out there. Hey, you better go make some money. They don't say selling drugs. Go sell some drugs. They'll say, like, you need to get out there and make some money. You need to do something. Well, everybody know what that means.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
You know, and they use these things and say, I never told my son. And they cry, my son, I never told my son to go sell drugs. Yes, you did. You just didn't say it exactly like that, but you said get out there and go make some money. Mm-hmm. That means go hustle, go grind, go get that bread, go sell dope to get it. And I think a lot of times you have to, man, with these guys, you have to not be intimidated. You have to be straight up and real with them because they recognize if you're there for any other reason. Mm-hmm. They really are truly, I know this is going to sound bad, they really are businessmen. They have become that way, and they really are. You just got to change what they do. And lead it. And a lot of them has transitioned into the business world, but you gotta change their mindset.
Even that mindset though that you're describing, I recognize as being very unique and being part of how God is using you because those guys love you because of the potential that you see in them.
And even
how you're talking about them as, you know, business guys or whatever. Yeah. That's a perspective that you come at it with, is saying you're not trash, you're not worthless.
Ooh, that's so
you know,
good.
You're not you're a menace to society.
That's good.
You actually are extremely valuable. It's just you're using all that value
in
the
wrong
way.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And you do such a good job of pulling out of people, man.
Thank you.
Seen that so many times. One of the things I learned from you when God put us together, because I think God put us together for so many reasons. Yeah. I mean, for not like just for what it was going to do in me, what it's going to do you, what it's going to do in our churches. It's so many things, and I think I continue to see it. But one of the things I learned from you was mercy, like growing in mercy and patience with people that are slipping, falling, going backwards sometimes, how to help those people, be patient with those people. Because my mindset early on a little bit was sort of militant in the sense of, hey, here's what you need to do. Do it or don't do it. If you ain't going to do it, get out of the way. Let me find somebody that is going to do it, and let's move forward. And I can still be like that sometimes.
Me too.
when I got around you, man, I would just see second chances, third chances, eighth chances. I'm like, why are you still working with this person?
Yeah.
Why are you still giving them another chance?
Oh,
but
and
I would ask you that.
Yeah.
And you would explain it to me, you know. And I saw the heart of God in that, and I saw the mercy and love of God in that, you know. And so I've grown in that way, watching you and being around
you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much, man. I tell you, I think I found out this would change me and my wife, really. Even to be able to deal with this, we understand what love truly is. We really understand 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the identity of God. I think that's the most important thing. I love God for who he is, not how much power he has. I don't know if that makes any sense, how much wealth he obtains, or the knowledge he obtained. I think all that's good, but his identity that he says in 1 Corinthians, this is who I am. In 1 John 2, I am agape. And when he said that, you know, when you read that, and you see, he tells me this is who he is. I mean, it just changed my whole perspective of him.
Yeah.
That he's yep. so, you know what I'm saying?
And you demonstrate, y'all, your church yeah. is like just a walking demonstration of that.
Thank you.
I went to your 20-year celebration, yeah. right? y'all's church is what?
They thought it was Buck Wilder.
Y'all's church must be going like 24 years because yeah. it was yeah. basically y'all started yeah. like 2000.
Yes.
So it's easy to do the math. So yes. y'all are in 24th year. I went to your 20-year celebration.
Yeah.
Look.
Go ahead and say it.
It's hard to even say.
Really?
No, I'm saying it from a, I'm being serious. Like, dude, me and Jen both went. We yeah. were so impacted.
Oh, thank you.
Because bro. I don't know thank if you, you even remember what y'all did, but.
It was so wild, bro.
I think they had a line of people that just wanted to come up and give testimonies of how
yes.
the church had impacted them.
Yeah. Oh, that's
I'm
so
just
good.
Sitting in the back crying yeah. like a baby. Person after person, dude. Just person after person.
Yes.
I was on the streets.
Yes.
I was selling my body.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
know,
what they was.
I had been abandoned by yeah. my dad. I'd been abused as a child. You know, yes. just I was on drugs. Just story after story coming up. And man, just seeing how God yeah. moved them, changed.
That's
and
right.
some of these people.
Yeah.
You know, are leaders in your church.
Yes, yes.
And so they're now leading other people. Man. They're helping other
That's
people.
Right.
Just such a beautiful picture yeah. of the gospel yes. and like what ministry yeah. is supposed to be
yeah.
and be able
yeah.
to do,
yes.
be able to accomplish,
yes.
which
yes.
is take somebody from the worst,
worst.
And then
yeah.
they come there, and now they're a disciple.
Yeah. I like
and
what
they're
you, I like
following
that.
God, and they're
I like what you said, the worst, you know, because it's like, you got to be able to see the best in a person to pull out the best. If I can never see the best in that person, there's no way I'm going to get them to be the best. I have to see that. And I think that's what love does. Love causes us to see the best in each other to be able to pull it out. Like I was saying, too, in the beginning when I was with you, you know, I'm going to say this, too, because a lot of times people don't know this part in our relationship. We had been putting out so much money. You know what I'm saying? That's what I got to put y'all. I know you probably ain't going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. About you, I mean, finance, we have been getting people apartments, rooms, and
yeah.
all that. So one day, I had seen it before, but Pastor Johns came over there and said, look, they got a building, I believe. Y'all got to check this out. Your pastor is something, man. He go, I want you to go see it, and I want you to come see it. I said, when? Right now. I said, what? He said, come on, let's go. Get in the truck. We get into the Jeep at that time. We get in the Jeep. We go over there. And he said, look at this. He saw showing me the building. You can do this. You can do this. He already seen it.
Mm-hmm.
That's partners. They can see it. You know what I'm saying? And help you see it. And you say, look at this. Look at this. Man, after that, believe it or not, I'm telling you, we end up remodeling that building. Did we not?
No, no. Look.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's
go
tell
ahead.
The whole story.
Okay.
The whole story is too amazing to just skip over.
Okay,
it's just unbelievable.
Ahead.
So they wanted $50,000
yes.
for the building.
Yes.
And God had already paid off this building. So
yeah.
I'm on a high. $50,000. God just paid off $1 million. I'm $50,000.
Well,
you couldn't.
Look how you talking. Talk that talk.
That's just where my faith was at. You know, I was coming off the high. I'm like, $50,000. What is that?
What? You ain't never That's, came off of that. What you talking?
So we just had the confidence and the faith, you know. And I'll be honest with you,
yeah.
Pastor. I don't even know if I've ever told you this.
Yes.
I'm going to just say it right
okay.
now, though, for
yes.
everybody.
Okay.
When I saw that building, I knew y'all were supposed to get it. I knew
you
we
did.
Were, I knew we were supposed to get it.
Yes.
And I knew that we were supposed to pay for it.
That's exactly.
But I didn't tell you that.
Yes.
And I waited and... To, and I don't know if this was God or if it was just me, but what I waited for was for you to pull the trigger and you have the step of faith to step out and go, I'm going to do this.
That's
not
exactly
not
right.
knowing that somebody else was going to cover it.
Yes.
You know, I just felt like the Lord led me that way.
Oh, that's so
because
good.
Because it's easy to step out when you know
yeah,
somebody's going to cover it.
Yes, indeed.
You know, but I just felt like I'm not going to do that because I knew God was working
yeah.
something in y'all's faith.
Yeah.
And so... You didn't know
I didn't.
That we were going to cover it. You had to have the faith, and you
yeah.
said, "All right, it's going to be this."
Wait,
much
wait, but you was blessed. You did help me.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I waited. This is my point.
I know.
Is I waited until y'all said we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You stepped out. You signed the contract.
Yeah.
Once you stepped out and signed the contract,
yeah.
Then I felt the Holy Spirit say, "All right,
yeah.
go ahead and tell them." So I said, "Hey, we're going to cover the monthly note
yeah,
on that."
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then God had just even bigger plans.
Yes, He did.
Because
and no, I want you to finish it because we was while we was doing the building. We was fixing on the building and paying getting the building done. But I wasn't just putting in getting stuff too, as well as paneling and all this other stuff, new toilets and all that. You also was investing in that with us, mm-hmm. and what's his name was with us.
Richard
was also, man, Richard and Richard, Dana. Oh, Richard did, man. Richard was like a, we when he see him come, he said, oh, that go the slave master. Yeah. I know that's funny, but Richard didn't play. Richard like, let's go. Man, but they respected Richard so much.
You just made everybody nervous. You don't use the word slave when you talk. I mean, come on. You can't do that.
I had to, because they would joke about Richard. They say, Richard was, I mean, he just didn't talk. Yep. He got busy with his hands and started working. And he expected you to work. Yeah, but him and that, he expected you to do the work like he was doing. And he didn't play. Man, I love that. And it encouraged the guys. It really taught a lot of them, too. Richard was showing a lot of them how to work, how to do things. And Richard was like, man, that dude is powerful, man.
You know, and then, so then I think we may have made the first monthly payment or something like that. And then the guys that owned the building, because y'all didn't go through a bank. We were just, it was like,
we did
owner,
our pocket.
Owner
yeah.
finance.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
So we were paying them guys. But after like a month or two of being in the building, they came and said the same thing I just said. They came and said, well, we wanted to donate this building, but we were waiting to see what you were going to do with it.
Matter of fact, he said he didn't think, he's my partner, he's a friend of ours now. He said, I didn't believe they would get the building done.
Correct.
And we got it done.
Well, and I love what he said. Oh, it just gets me excited. He said, we've had so many people tell us, just what you said in the beginning.
Yes.
Oh, we had so many people do this.
Yeah, and talk.
And tell us they're going to do this. And so we were waiting to see, were you actually going to do what you said you were going to do?
Oh, man.
And so when they saw the whole thing get remodeled, started putting people in there, started getting guys off the street, they came and said, hey, we're going to just donate the building.
They showed it.
And so the debt was canceled.
Yes, exactly. Ben Lawrence is his name. Yep. As a matter of fact, he's a partner in the ministry now.
Yeah.
And his beautiful dad, guy. His dad Richard is Lawrence.
Yep.
Yes, they both. And man, they called me at my place, called me in the conference room and said they wanted to meet, and then turned around and said, I have my check ready. I said, I'm going to go to check first. You know, we're ready the first month rent. First month pay.
Yep.
And he said, you can keep that check. And he goes, go to the title. We give this building over to you.
Glory,
dude.
God.
I like the fell on the flow, man. Oh, yeah. It was impacted.
And then if we back way up, though, to even the way we met, because Richard was servicing our coffee machine here at the church.
Yes.
He had told me about this building. One day we're just sitting there. He said, hey, if y'all ever need a building for ministry or something like that.
Yes.
He said, I got a building. I think it'd be great for that. And
so he
left or whatever. And so it was a week later. You were up here. I was talking to you.
Yeah.
I was telling you all about it.
Yes.
We're in the worship center. I remember we're standing there talking.
Yeah.
Through the back door. As I'm telling you about the building, Richard walks in through the back.
So did.
I'm like,
oh, that was so wild, man.
So it was just God.
It was God.
The whole thing was God all around. That's not the end of it, though.
Mm-mm.
They end up donating the building to the left.
And then
the land and building to the right.
Exactly.
So now it's expanded.
Exactly.
We have more space, more.
Yes,
it's
man.
All paid for.
Yes. And it's packed out right now.
And it's packed full of guys, getting guys off the street, you know, every day.
Yes, exactly.
So God is good. Please talk about, I love when you talk about this because I love hearing your perspective on it. But you've told me about how before we met that some financial part of stuff was a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
But since we've came in partnership,
brother,
like,
you know that now.
The roof
you can
come
give
off.
That testimony because you know you done seen it with your own eyes.
No, I want to hear from you.
I know, but Pastor, since we, let me tell you this, I don't know, man, I believe everything's spiritual. I really do. I think what you partner with, it defines you. It says what you're about.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Pastor, when we went in agreement, a covenant with you, and you partner with us. The anointing that was on you in this body, your body, has gone on us. It kicked us to another level financially. I'm talking big dog talk now. It did, Pastor. It just kicked us in my whole church. No, we are enjoying it. I never enjoyed like this in the ministry. I got to be honest with you. I'm really enjoying it. And don't get me wrong. We spend a lot again and still spending, you know, we getting ready to do a women's shelter and we just keep, it just keeps going, man. But it's just been, been easy for us.
Like,
let me say that word.
Yeah.
Very easy financially in some areas, you know, in our ministry.
Well,
it's been
we experienced a lot of financial miracles, you know, in our ministry. The building getting paid off.
Yes, was indeed.
One, you know, the student center's paid off. It's a lot. God's done it. And the roof, it was like we struggled, and then there was a moment where the roof came off, and God said, I'm going to take care of the financial part of stuff.
Yes,
and you kind of watched that a little bit.
As yes,
and then when we came in friendship, it began to happen in your ministry.
Yes.
And now you guys just opened a second campus in Pineville.
Yes.
Tell them that story.
Tell them that story.
So Ron's house happened first, and all that's paid off. And
yes. Then we have a church in Alexandria, and then we went to Pineville and had a church, I mean, such a blessing. Yeah,
really in Wardville.
Yeah, Wardville. Yes, Wardville, yes, yeah. In Wardville, exactly. In Pineville, in Wardville Street. And, man, this building, we walked in. I mean, the same thing. Everything was there, set for us. Not hard.
Yo, this place is nice, man.
Yeah,
this place.
Oh, thank you,
Pastor. Okay, so it wasn't exactly donated. They wanted something for it, right?
Yes,
They wanted 30, some money.
I think it was like $30,000 or something like that.
But when I came and looked at it, I remember I looked at it and I said, This building is worth at least $500,000.
Yes, indeed.
The building and property.
Exactly, exactly.
Like it was in that kind of shape.
Oh,
brick,
we fixed
structure.
It up. Did we fix it up,
oh,
man?
Oh, my gosh. Y'all remodeled it. It's beautiful.
Oh,
but
gosh.
So y'all still had to pay the 30, but even that got paid for. Somebody paid that.
Yeah, exactly. Same person. Same person.
So
Ben Lawrence. That's my boy. That's
so that's debt-free. Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's fully remodeled.
Yes.
Now we're reaching people in Wardville.
Yes, yes. And now I'm going to share this with you on air. The guy that was the main drug dealer on that street, main one that ran that area, as a guy I used to know when I was a kid, he was raised up around us, never did that before, never was like that. Got caught up when I went to college, got caught up in that lifestyle. Now, guess what? Came out the lifestyle. Matter of fact, he's at my church serving in the ministry with me right now. Since it ain't been, 6 months now? 4 months, 6 months? Since
praise
now
God.
He's serving God, man, working. Whole mindset, talking about teach me, Pastor. Show me what I need to learn.
You didn't told me that.
Oh, no, I forgot to tell you. And look, oh my God, we're so excited, my brother.
And every day, 5 days a week, feeding people at that location.
Yes.
Partnering with the Manor House.
Yes, we feed the homeless. That's right, every day. I got people that's committed. Let me share this with y'all guys, that these people are volunteer workers. They don't get a check. These guys volunteer their time to go feed the homeless every day. And it's like, I have four committed every day to feed them. They go there and do that out of love for the people. Oh. It's just a beautiful thing, Pastor. And I just want to commend, if they watching this Global Impact, y'all guys are so beautiful, man. I love you guys. I thank God for you guys, your faithfulness, your commitment, your loyalty. I think we have 32 departments, and they faithful and serving, Pastor. I mean, they are a blessing. It's been work. It's been rough, hard sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Really hard with the relationship, with seeing people. This is what I have to deal with, bro. You help a person and he'll build up. You'll see him doing good. He'll get on his feet. Somehow, arrogance, try to get in, pride, get in, and he fall. Boom. Mm. The thing is, sometimes people have the mindset, no, go ahead, pay the price. You want to do that? No. And you got to get back in and pick him back up. You know what I'm saying? And love on him and say, hey, yeah, I know. Come on, let's go again. And if it happened again, I'm going to do it again. If it happened again, please, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to find a better way to get it inside of him so it won't happen no more. But I think the thing is we give up too quick on people. And I really believe what you was talking about earlier, the mercy but also the grace.
It's just amazing to me that you think like that when, again, you didn't come out of that. Because a person that had needed 10, 8, 10, 11, 12 chances could understand that.
Yeah.
And then you could see, I can see why. Because you walked that and you needed that kind of mercy, but you didn't walk that, and you still have that kind of patience with them, you know.
I just think that's, man, I love that. Being honest with you, I think sometimes it's just obedience as God, because sometimes I don't understand it. You know, he'll say, do it, and I just obey. And it makes me look like I'm this person. If that make any sense, it makes you look like that. But obedience of obeying, then after it's over, you go, God, I seen why you did that. I didn't understand it at first. Mm-hmm. But I obeyed you. Now it benefited that person, but also it benefited me by giving me joy to see that person back on his feet doing good and living good. Mindset change. I say again, the most powerful thing about God is who he is. Not the benefits of him, not the hand of him, the heart of him, his spirit. Mm-hmm. It's the most beautiful thing, the love, who he is, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And I was at the grand opening of the Wardville campus.
Yes, you were.
And it was packed. People from Alexandria came. Yes. We had some city officials there. Yes. We had leaders there, supporters there, and people from the community, you know, that had come.
Yeah.
And y'all are already starting to, of course, you're feeding people every day right in the heart of it.
Yeah.
And then you've got people that are walking to the church that live on that street and coming. And, man, one of the things me and Jen noticed on that opening Sunday, man, the presence of God was there.
Oh, my God.
The worship was good.
Yes.
And the glory of God filled that house.
Yes. The mayor, when put it on his page about it, it was really powerful to hear him say that. You know what I'm saying? About global. It really touched me, man, to see that.
But it's exciting what God's doing there. All right. So what is next? What do you see beyond, you know, even now, where we're at and what we're doing, what we're partnering on next? What's the next project?
Two projects. It's the women's shelter is going to be very, it's not going to be hard. We know it's going to be easy. We're going to get it done.
Yeah, quick. Because Ron's house is all men, if people don't know.
Yes.
It's reaching men specifically.
Yes, and there's going to be another women's shelter for women. Ron had the heart for that as well. I think we may call it Mimi's or something, you know, like that, representing my mom who passed. I had a heart for the ladies. God, yes.
Man. That's right. Because your mom passed away in 2020, right?
Yeah.
And she was such a huge part of the ministry.
Yes, it hurt us all, man.
I'm so glad I got to meet her.
Oh, man.
You know, before. Yeah. But and she was always such a huge part of the ministry.
Very much so, man. Very much so, too.
I think we should just decide right now. We're naming it after
That's
her.
Right.
Let's just decide right now. It's official.
Right. Okay, you're right.
Who else?
Whatever
how
you say.
Else could you
what
do
you
it,
say?
You know?
Yeah, it's right. And we also getting ready to expand our location, where we at now. We got to come out. We got to find another building, and that's what we're doing.
Oh, we're for global.
For global. In Alexandria.
For the church.
Yes, specific for the church.
Right.
And we... Man, my dad does things, and sometimes I have questions when he does things. I'm like, why? What?
Yeah, when when Pastor Shetty says dad, for those
of you who don't know, I'm sorry, I keep saying that. God. Yeah. And they got to understand, my dad passed away when I was 4 years old. So I was missing that. Even though my stepdad came in, I still had an issue with that, even though he was supposed to train me right. But until later on, I appreciated him and honored him. But when he came in my life, let me tell you what he said to me. This is why I say dad all the time. He said this thing when I received him. I said, okay, come live in me. I give you my life, Jesus. God, I want you to come live in me. And I did that. He turns around and says to me, I never leave you or forsake you. Now, you got to understand, I had all this anger toward him about my dad dying when I was young. And I had all this anger in me about my grandmother, who was the closest thing to me, dying when I was young. That, you know, experiencing death in my life was very traumatizing, you know, seeing that. So, and he comes and say this kind of stuff, like, I never leave you or forsake you. I go, who are you? That's the first words I said to him. That's one of my first words. Who are you that can say something like that? And then they start telling me, I am God. I am your original. I am your dad. You know, he started saying, that's what you were referring me to. And didn't use the word father. He used the word that would relate personal to me. Mm. And I think of father, when they say father, I think of a militant type
it's
of
a
word.
Formal.
Formal, yes. And people got upset with me. I said, get upset with, why would you get upset with a person that called God his dad? Does it make sense?
It's scriptural. I mean, it says we call him Abba. That is the word daddy.
Yes.
You know, Abba father, that's the Greek or
I just never understood. I don't know, people, and I won't say people, I think more, it's just the church. I think we're not the same. Your church is different, I'm different. Mm-hmm. You can't get mad with me because God's telling me to do something different.
And
you know what I'm saying?
I think some people just don't really have that intimate of a relationship with God, and so it's foreign to them.
Yes.
It's like, you know,
I
don't feel that close, so it's weird. But you do, you do.
I have to have it. When I'm... every day our life, you know, my life is on that. You know, I deal with different type of people, so I have to stay close to God. Like you said, you got to be hearing God. You know, you got to be real. You got to be keeping his presence around you while you're talking to certain people, certain areas. You know what I'm saying? So
women's shelter.
Okay. Yes.
What are you thinking? Just basically the model with Ron's house, but now opening it up for women as well.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about the need, because I think the need for men is obvious with the drugs and the drug dealers and all of that. What is the need for women? How is it different? Because it's probably not the exact same.
It's close. The same needs. I say sometimes my wife, when she would be here, she would say about the sometimes they have the kids involved. They want to get their children.
I think that's kind of my point is if we all drive around Alexandria and we see the panhandlers and we see the guys on bikes and we see the people walking and we see the homeless community, I feel like 95% of the people that I see are men. That's why I say it's different. I don't see a ton of homeless women out there. So am I just missing that? Yeah. Or is that the part of side of town we're on or what?
You're missing it. Right. They're around, especially in Wartville. Wartville have more women that needs a place to stay, you know. And let me tell you another thing they do. They go live in a house and rent a room out. And sometimes things get out of hand, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, to rent the room, I don't have the money for the rent the room this month. And, okay, what you going to do for that? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So we want to get women out of that situation where they don't have to be turned out for a place to lay their head.
Yeah.
And a lot of that goes on with women, you know what I'm saying, using women, abusing women.
And having children complicates the whole way.
So they end up losing their kid, and they're trying to get their kids back, so they need a place of stability to get on their feet so they can get to a place that they have their own apartment, their own house, that they can get their kids back in. It's just a process of things. You know, what bothers me so much sometimes, Pastor, I say this, sometimes people come to me and they say, huh, this a book right here, this guy. This a book. I want to study. I say, man, you know, and I say this all the time, and they may think it sounds arrogant or sound prideful. I say, I am the book because we've been doing this, and you know, you're bringing a book to me like we haven't been. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, you're talking about like books on evangelism and how to reach your city and stuff like that.
Yes,
and sometimes it feels like the guys that are writing those books, it's more like from a professor standpoint, and you're saying I didn't study this. Yes. I'm living this.
We're living this. That's a difference, Pastor. That's a big difference. And I think sometimes the church people are so busy looking for that. You're graduated from Yale. Can you come and teach us? Because you have this book, and he's graduated from Yale. Come teach us.
The nine principles of evangelism.
Yes, I teach you. I teach you really good. I'll bring you behind out there. Well, yeah.
One Friday night on the street.
That's right.
Yeah, because I think we've got probably people from your church, church, listening to this. Who knows? Probably maybe end up the whole state's listening to it. Yeah. Who knows? I'm just kidding.
No, I ain't.
But, you know, I think a lot of people from our church, they hear what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think there's a huge part of their heart that goes, I want to be involved in that.
Yeah.
They just don't know where to even. It's so much easier to support it financially than it is to get involved in the nitty gritty of that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a world that is so foreign to so many of, I'm talking about my church people, not all of them. There's plenty of people that come to One Life that would relate perfectly with what, I mean, we've got a group of people that understand it. But I think I'm talking about a certain group that middle class, you know, regular, that love and have a heart for the city and this kind of thing, but just don't know even how in the world to begin reaching people like that. What would your advice or encouragement be to those people of how they can be evangelistic?
First thing, Pastor, stop giving money to people on the corner. Stop letting them give you guilt trips about what you're not doing and get you to give money because it's a con. It's they're getting played, Pastor. Mm. And then stop supporting organizations that actually are not making a difference.
Give us an example. You don't want to name them?
I don't want to name them, but I'm going to say this. Okay. I think one organization they've been supporting for longest. I mean, how long? Okay, you gave them a place to rest their head, but are they changing their mindset? Are you, you know, to stay at Ron's house, you have to go through a program. You have to renew your mind. You have to get your mind changed. Your mindset has to change. You can't just stay there. You get what I'm saying? Giving somebody just a place to sleep at is not going to make a difference like that. And I think we've been supporting these things and making ourselves feel good. I said this one time. You helped me out with this. And say it again because I think you're going to have to clear it up when I say this.
All right.
I really do. Okay. I had one guy told me. He said, man, we go to Africa. We go to Asia. We go to China. We're giving 80,000, 100,000, and all these countries, man, they were just getting excited. Mm-hmm. They feel good about themselves. I say, tell me how it makes sense when your own area is dying and people around you dying and killing each other. And first, let's take care of our house. Mm-hmm. That's what I did with Ron's house. They was calling me from Lafayette and all over Shreveport. I said, look, we're not taking nothing from the outside. We taking care of the house first. I think we busy taking care of so much stuff on the outside. Africa right here in your... Yeah. You could change your community right now. That's what's going to make the difference for before you can start doing all that. I'm not saying not to do it. I'm saying, hey, let's take care of our home first. Let's impact on, let's invest in the people that are doing the work, not just doing, you know, having a little sleep together and all that.
I'm talking about
not feeding hot dogs and making a meal for that month and feeling good about yourself. No, I'm talking about actually getting in people's face and talking to them and not giving up and being in involved in their life, helping them to discipline themselves with their budget, putting them on the budget, showing them how to spend their money, showing them you can't spend all your money on this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And actually teaching them. And that's the beauty of it.
Well, I think that it makes perfect sense what you're saying. You're saying that the church, by and large, has always sent a lot of money to missions, which is typically international.
Uh-huh.
We do that. We're a big missions church,
yes,
and we support, but we support locally, too.
Yes,
we invest a lot locally as well. So,
but do all churches do it?
Right. I don't know.
I would think maybe not.
But I get what you're saying. I think that's part of that is because the landscape has changed some.
Uh-huh.
It's always been a need. But if you think about how our nation has transitioned slowly from being a Christian nation to a more secular nation, the need for local missions is increasing. You know, as the church, as the percentage of people in your city that attend church
mm-hmm.
goes down,
mm-hmm.
and there's and then crime is going up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's less churched people in your city. There's more of a need for evangelism and outreach in your city.
Beautiful.
You know, where before, I know 20 years ago, let's say, maybe 25 years ago in the church world, it wasn't much to just put an event, you know, put some word out, and people are showing up. They're mm-hmm. coming to the church mm-hmm. for answers.
Yes.
But as that changes, and you're not seeing that as much, you can't just still sit back with a sort of come and see mentality of like, hey, come and see what we're doing at the church. Come mm-hmm. and see what the church building is doing.
Yeah.
There's more of a seek and save mindset that has to come of like, all right, we're going to have to go out and reach people and grab people and pull them in.
Yeah.
And you guys are excelling at that.
Yeah.
But my original question, you mentioned the support. I think they got that on our side. They understand the support element. That's what our people are good at, is they're good at supporting financially. But I think, where would you recommend, imagine someone from that I'm describing
uh-huh.
in a middle class, you know, upper middle class neighborhood, and they're hearing us talk, and they want to do more than just support financially.
Yeah.
How would you encourage them in their sphere and where they're at to begin being more outreach mindset or, you know, more evangelistic?
I was thinking first. A lot of times people say, I want to invest, you know, at Globe, I want to invest in what you guys are doing. I just don't know about it. Well, there's people that can teach you about each department or each thing that we're doing for outreach. And I think our church is a big outreach church. That's what I think it is. But you can find out things. Our change department, our Ron's house, our PED, that deals with rent, mortgage, people mm-hmm. helping our people about to lose their place to stay. We do all that on Sunday too and Wednesday. I'm saying I believe they can call and say, help me understand what y'all guys are doing. Mm-hmm. I think they have a responsibility to find out, Pastor, about what's going on. Don't just take our word. Look, let's find out. Let's come see it.
So we got people in our church that, for example, if they knew that you guys needed help distributing food with Manor House in Wardville campus, that's something they could connect with, right?
Exactly.
They could come they could come one day a week and help minister to those people. Yeah. There may be some guys that could come help at Ron's house.
Yeah.
You know, so there are ways to get involved. I would also go ahead.
And we're slowly getting into the place that guys that are could think, I'm just to be, I hope I can say this stuff right here. It's just like, if you come out, it's very difficult for you to go out in the area where I go out with dealing with guys that's hustle, sell.
Yeah.
They see you, they're going to think of police.
Right.
There's no way you're going to be able to infiltrate that area and get in there. So the only way you can have an impact on that is by your wisdom, coming to speak to the guys, letting them know, helping get jobs, investing financially to the people that has been volunteering for 20-something years and never got a blessing, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. increasing in life, a blessing in their life. I just think these are, and people say, well, it ain't, it's the people that's out there. Wait a minute. You got people that actually are putting in the work, they're serving and don't get anything.
Yeah.
It's good to sometimes have something for them to bless them. I know we talk about the bless them thing, to see them get, but I just think you got to get involved asking questions, calling and saying, okay, talk to me about this.
But here's another thing, and I don't know if you would agree. I think you would agree with this. Okay. But one of the things I would encourage our people with, too, is don't think that the only people that need Jesus are people that are broken on the street. That's not the only people that need Jesus.
That's
there's,
not.
There's people
that's
in not, every sphere not. Of life that's that not. Need Jesus.
Can I give you one passage?
Yeah.
Teachers. We had a teacher. I can't say their name, but he went back to teaching. He's teaching now. Was on the streets. And he's smart, educated. But we minister to him. It's different levels of different amount. Right. You know what I'm saying?
So there's probably, instead of, it's easy to hear what you're doing and think, oh, I got to do that.
Yeah.
Well, but there's people that need Jesus everywhere.
Yes, that is.
At your work.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
your family.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
your family. Yeah. In your neighborhood where you live, there are people that need Jesus. And as the culture changes, that's going to be more and more, and more the case. So
I think so.
I would encourage people just to say, man, just keep your eyes open
in
the sphere that God has placed you and minister in that environment.
That's good, Pastor. You know? That's good. I think, I really wasn't talking to One Life, being honest with you, because One Life is off the chain. One Life always look out for love. If you see one of your church members, they'll see us. Man, I know your pastor, they're just out there, man. They're friendly, loving. One Life, if you're listening, I love you guys, man. You're such an impact to Global Impact Ministry. Can't wait till Tuesday. I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, the Tim Barton event.
Tim Barton.
I don't know when this is getting released, so it might be after.
Oh, that's who knows. Oh, wow.